folks. It's good talking with you. Thank you for being here. I'm Henrik, and it's Red Ice Radio you are listening to. I hope you had a good day, productive, and that you've been working on your mind and your body to improve and live as a positive role model for others to follow. Strength and honor, being dedicated to the betterment of yourself, taking responsibility that we all need to take to start improving the conditions around us and ourselves. Our website is redicecreations.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. We have a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to, and you can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Our full broadcast is available on redicemembers.com, where you can stream or download all shows. You can also subscribe to the RSS feeds with a podcast app to get the program on your mobile device if you want to listen on the go. You can see our help section on redicemembers.com for all the instructions and details. It's very simple. Zen Gardner began his online writing and blogging 8 years ago after a lifelong quest for truth and several major life changes. He writes on a variety of subjects, from Earth and human origins and our manipulated spiritual and historical context to current political events, in an effort to dismantle old mindsets in order to free and encourage the awakening of human consciousness that is readily available to all. Today, our topic is going to be about the process of awakening the warrior in us. Hey, Zen, thanks for coming on with us. Good to talk to you. Good to have you here on the program.
Boy, I'm honored to be here, Henrik. I so admire the work you've done and the amazing guests you've had. And Red Ice Creations has been a real source of inspiration and education for me over the years. I'm really honored to be here.
Well, thank you, Zen. And I've been enjoying your writing as well, going in and out of your website for I don't know how many years you've been running it now, but it seems like it's a while. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about your website and your writing for those who might hear you here for the first time, Zen?
Okay, I guess the site's been up about 6 years. I activated due to a convergence of circumstances and said, that's it. And I stopped everything else I was doing and dedicated myself fully to researching and networking as best I could, from just via emails, talking to people, you know, bringing up issues, pointing out chemtrails, the usual things that hit you broadside when everything converges. You just want to mention anything to get the conversation started. And my son, who's an IT, he's pretty much an expert. He said, Dad, why don't you start a blog? You know, you're sending emails like crazy. You're contacting all these people.
Why don't you put it on a website? Because I'm sick of your emails, right?
Yeah. Anyway, he volunteered to put it together, and I'm not so technically savvy. And he, I first posted it on a natural health website. And got, you know, in writing my articles, little here, little there, and then people picked them up, and I started getting some wonderful encouragement from people. And as the articles gained in circulation, things just stepped up. So eventually, I went to a website, actual website format, which we upgraded about 6 months ago, I guess, to something a little more jazzy, but with more information, easier to find, and that's going to be expanded more too. But as you know, there's never ending things to do when it comes to the information world, all the things we want to get out mm-hmm. there.
Oh yeah.
But that's more or less how it happened. And my writing, I've always been a writer and an editor, but in varying stages, but this time around, writing was a whole nother experience, because it came out almost as if somebody else, things that gelled, and concepts that, you know, started to become clear, and, you know, all the dot connecting and the revelations that come with research and you know, real heartfelt experiences. And that's been the most wonderful experience of all, next to meeting all the wonderful people in the, call it the alternative information world. But, you know, the best friends I've had in my entire life. These are people of common heart and common spirit, common goal. And I just feel privileged to be part of this wonderful awakening that's taking place, even though we're up against some pretty, pretty weird influences. Tell you what, they don't know who they're dealing with, because you know, the darkness cannot put out the light. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you've covered a lot on the website, you know, kind of as we have on ours, it continues to crystallize, if you will, as we learn a lot and more and more about the world and ourselves and everything else. And we do have obviously a couple of topics kind of lined up that we want to get into and talk about today here. But what are some of the main topics that you're, you know, kind of focused on right now? Some of the things you know are important, you know, right now that you are burning for and feel a desire to get out more information about?
Well, I would say there's two overriding themes that have been coming up lately. One is this horrific genocide, ethnic cleansing, and I would call it trauma-based mind control onslaught of absolute inhumanity that's entraining the world to accept such atrocities by pushing so far that anything less might seem like a respite from it, but actually it isn't, just as Israel continued their bombing today after saying there's going to be a truce. But this onslaught, the entrainment of information on people, even though people think they're aware of it, still can have that same desensitizing, numbing effect. So we're up against a very heavy barrage right now, similar to what the poor Palestinians are undergoing physically.
Yes.
There's a spiritual barrage going on. And as in your brilliant talk with John Lash, there is a spiritual onslaught. And I think that these outside spiritual influences are really jacking it up right now. You can see the manifestations around the world. It's just become pretty much berserk. And then with the media telling you the complete opposite and some of the outright propaganda, it's hard to believe. But there's that aspect, which I think we're going to talk more about. But yes. Also at the same time, personal empowerment and the necessity to find peace and have a very confident stand in our consciousness and our spirituality at the same time. I've often likened it to somebody, you're not only watching a play unfold in front of us in our personal lives and on the world stage, but we are actors in the stage, in the play. And it might seem to be a paradox, but it really is. It is our current situation. We're here in effect, we're observers, but we're not. We're participators. And if we don't participate, something's seriously wrong. That's where this new age fly by night stuff just does not fly with me.
Exactly.
There's no hiding from this.
No.
And consciousness or that wonderful principle of spiritual detachment to a place where we can really see clearly, respond consciously, and not react to the many impulses coming at us, because now it's more important than ever to not go for their fraudulent impulses and all this fear and confusion, which is only going to get worse. And we know that, but I think people need to really be able to find that place, have confidence in it, and, you know, whatever they have to do to practice getting to that place. But I think it has to do with the way of life of each of us. We have to detach, disengage from things we're involved with in our lives that we know are drains and fruitless. We have to stop those. We have to make some sacrifice. If that's a sacrifice, fine, but you'll find out soon it's not a sacrifice, because you've cut off the dead limbs, and the rest of the tree is going to grow a whole lot better and a whole lot more fruit. But that it's a time to make some serious decisions for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where coming to your senses, you'll make the right decisions. But we can't compromise. There's no more compromising. You can't, you know, stick your fingers in this tar, baby. This one's going to really suck you down. So it's good. It's precipitating a crisis in people's lives. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. And apparently it does, because there's so much of the world that hasn't gotten to point yet.
Exactly.
So, you know, it doesn't mean we don't fight to make it better, in spite of there being people who refuse to wake up. But it's not even so much to make it better. It's to, you know, the parallel reality arise that we know should be here while the other one fades away, which is happening. That's why they're so absolutely ticked off. These guys are furious because they can sense it. You know, there is a vibrational light that's shining more, and they're like this furious black sticky stuff that's starting to burn and smoke and trying to fight back. But it's, we just need to shine all the brighter.
Well, exactly. You're right. Now, good point you mentioned there in terms of a lot of people have become pacified, standing on the sidelines, not, you know, getting involved, that this somehow kind of is an escape of sorts. But I think a lot of that has to do with that, and it might sound like contradiction, just as you said, but the detachment of kind of, well, I would call it entering into the zone of the warrior where, I mean, the fear is there to cripple us, and those who respond to that are those then who are avoiding it and running the opposite way. I feel that the warrior who faces the issues is the fearless one who is detached from that kind of emotional being drawn into it and letting that kind of cloud you too much. It's about getting to a point of clarity and with that realization, actually doing something about it, actually entering into that battle, into the fight, and realizing, just as you say, sure, we can have a view that we're actors on the stage, but this is the real stuff. This is not an illusion that just of passing that doesn't mean anything. This is of high importance and high value. And how do we draw people into that, you know?
Yeah, it's well said. It's going to require, it might sound like a contradiction to it, but it's a form of spiritual violence on the part of the awakener. We have to be willing to rip away from our lives and perhaps from the lives of others, if need be, that these influences, things that are causing these effects, that are killing the ones we love. I mean, if you saw somebody with a huge parasite on the back of his neck and he didn't know it, and you kind of tapped him on the shoulder and say, "Hey, buddy, I think there's something wrong." Or if it's one of your kids, you'd go there and rip the freaking thing off. You don't hesitate. We have to get into that kind of mindset. It's almost a, you know, you see these pictures of these, not yogic, but, you know, these Zen warriors and their positions and the beauty of the poetry of it and the rhythm. But you don't mess with it. You don't mess with it. And when it's time for action, it takes action. And it's not sitting around humming and hawing, should I do something? And I think we're coming to that where people are going to be much more responsive, but taking the initiative, which is really important to take the initiative, not be reactive. If you take the initiative, your advantage over the enemy is 100-1. I don't care how big it is. That's why these guerrilla warfare scenarios work so well. The other ones are taking the initiative. The big standing army is a dead duck over time.
We've been passive, and we've been just in a position where we just respond to the threats that arise around us. It's time to, you know, clasp that sword, pick it up, and charge. You know, get into it. You know,
storm the freaking castle.
Yeah.
It is time, and it'll manifest in different ways. Who knows what different people will be motivated to do. And you believe me, as we can feel ourselves, it's happening in many hearts around the world. Right now, South Africa just said that they found out they've got a soldier in Israel who's South African. Mm-hmm. He's working for the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. They're going to arrest him. They're going to put him in jail. So when he comes back, he's going straight to jail. They made this public announcement. You know, there's a big world court issue happening right now. There's a couple of big movements to, you know, bring up the war crimes. People are actually not just talking, but they're starting to press for it now instead of saying next March we're going to do this. People are really pissed off. You know, I guess you saw the Israeli girl burning her passport in London at a protest. Mm-hmm. She gave an eloquent speech. She said some very heavy things about Zionism and its roots. So she is researched. People are going for information, and this Zionist shroud of misinformation and outright lies is being blown the frick off, and people's eyes are getting you know, they're widening, man, and they're going, holy cow, and it's giving them permission to finally research these subjects they were afraid to even talk about or mention or hear somebody say something about.
Yeah,
it's starting to peel off. And that's a wonderful thing. The horrible thing is at the cost of these poor Palestinians, that's that just, you know, it rips your heart right out. We can't fathom anybody doing something like this. Well, it's because they're not human. This is not a human impulse. These people have given up their humanity and traded it in for this, you know, a parasitic force, whether you call it evil or, you know, devils, jinn or whatever. It's or archons. It's clear what's happening. And it's only getting clearer and as they pursue this. And I mean, the fact that it's happening in Ukraine as well at the same time, both with U.S. backing, you know, it's, you know, you can't even begin to wrap your head around it. And yet the American media, which is, we know the mainstream media is dwindling in viewership, but still they're the organ people listen to or think represents America. They're still saying the same old horrific pablum. And, you know, they say we condemn the bombing of the school and then Obama sends them $250 million more.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, as you know, it's off the charts. Anyway, I'm wandering around here, but getting back to your point, those are the two things I think of this genocide agenda going on right now. I think it's conditioning to accept some of their depopulation programs that are obviously in the works after the slow kill they've been doing with all the chemicals and altered foods and everything.
Yeah.
A murdered environment, but also that agenda. But at the same time, people, you know, it's a consciousness war. The battle's ultimately spiritual. And once we're free, we can act responsibly. That, you know, ability to respond, that's where responsibility comes from. And those who aren't responding, I have no respect for. I don't, especially those who know better. But the excuse to not respond, David Icke always eloquently says, he said, are you going to just stand there while they take your children?
Yeah.
Or what are your grandkids going to say when they ask you, where was grandpa during the war, during the takeover? You know, well, my grandkids are going to say, crazy grandpa. You know, he went full tilt boogie on it, and we didn't see him very much anymore. But you know, we're proud of him for doing the best he could. And you know, I want that to be my epitaph, but that's not my full on reason. Mine is, hey, if I'm going to be alive in this planet and conscious, this is the contract.
Right. Yeah.
This is what's laid before us, and I'm happy we're here. You know, and the more fired up I get, the happier I get.
Yeah, why not? I mean, these are the things that makes us alive, right? I mean, I feel we haven't, but you know, a lot of people haven't taken our place in the spiritual and mental world. It's been a pacification there, and hence that's why I think we're seeing a reflection of it in the physicality, that we're being run over mentally for such a long time that now we've been crippled, you know, physically, and we're not doing anything about anything. We're just, I mean, certainly it's an overwhelming, the agenda is to be overwhelming as well, of kind of that being the pacification alone, as you mentioned. It's that in itself is kind of a trauma-based mind control. You get the 1,000-yard stare and you don't know what to do anymore, and you kind of, you know, shutting down. But I guess that kind of goes back to the point you mentioned earlier. That's when it's important to reach for that higher calling and realize what the purpose is, and find that warrior spirit to transcend, if you will, those kinds of limitations that we can feel when this kind of shit happens around us, right?
Yeah, exactly. And people should be encouraged too, even if, like some people, they have their awakening, they think, oh, I'm behind. Say, no, you're right on time. You've reached now. We're all in the now. We're all at the same time. Once you find that conscious awareness and you've hit the wake up, the fundamental spiritual wake up, you're on time. Now take it from here. You know, people live in regret. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to take care of that. No, right now, just full on responsibility, follow consciousness. And, you know, I know it takes some doing. Some people have to get rid of, you know, credit cards or bank accounts or, you know, flaky friends or, you know, there's a whole realm of stuff that has to go, but go it must, because this battle needs warriors, full on warriors, not observers, not people wringing their hands, not people with pity, you know,
or guilt,
exactly. It's, you know, this is full on war, and those who don't recognize that yet, they soon will. It's going to slap them upside the head.
Yeah, that's
big
right.
Time if it hasn't already. And that's one of the good things about when things get this extreme, and we get to see these outcroppings and manifestations of the insanity of the Zionists. You know, the American military industrial complex monster, whatever the hell that thing is. It's you know, which is obviously Zionist infected. It's
yep.
It's
run by AIPAC, you know.
Yeah,
completely.
And worse, it's, you know, through Hollywood, the porn industry.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, with how many people's minds have been completely eaten by pornography. I put a couple articles up today about that, and
yeah, I saw that. There's some great stuff actually, because yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, you're right. This is a huge issue and problem, and a lot of this is kind of coupled with all the issues of not only infertility, but the chemical onslaught. So people are actually, they're kind of losing their sex drive on top of it. And then on the opposite side of that, you have a kind of where sex is an exacerbation. It's something which is just completely over the top, and the access to pornography and everything else. And you know, who controls that industry, right? You know?
Exactly. That's always been 95% Jewish Zionist run. That's a big money industry.
Yeah.
They have no empathy. They don't care. Sex to them is a mechanical money-making machine. And the more degrading, the better. As we know, their agenda is to break down society, to break down any sense of ethics or family.
Yes.
Or, you know, it's entropic. These guys want to break things down and get the energy out of it and suck the energy out. And that's what they do. They do it to nature. They do it to societies. They do it to the human body and sexuality. Also, you know, I just happened into this porn subject. I was doing a radio interview the other day, and it popped into my mind while I was talking to the host. And people don't talk about it because I don't know. You know what I mean? It's almost like the Zionism of sexuality or something. Because it's icky, dirty, and you know, secret little lusts in the backs of people's minds.
Well, exactly. But also think about it in this way. And someone else actually brought up that, I think it was, I watched a lecture by Jack Donovan, who was on Radio 314 with Lana here recently, and he brought this up in a lecture talk he did as well, and he said, you know, we're all dressing the same, we're all thinking the same, we all look the same. It's all monoculture, right? And we all sit in front of the same porn and jack off. You know, it's like, ugh.
Yeah. Like, oh, really? Do we? Oh, do we God, really? You know? Thanks for being my spokesperson. And it's so degrading, but. And then you get into the objectification of women and what that does, and the loss of the honor for the woman in our lives. The woman used to be the leader of the culture before these, you know, before it was destroyed back in the early Greece, when the first really smart guys were around, even before Plato, Heraclitus and these guys. The women were honored, and women were given a place of leadership as the wise one, the one who represented love. And it wasn't demasculizing. It was an honor of love and wisdom. It was a time of a peace and the love of the arts. And the women, the statues were women. They weren't men. And when the other guys came in, they blasted them all out. And then it was all men statues, and they changed it to the male hierarchy. And that's what we got today with this insane system.
I think it's been also a balance in between there. I mean, at least from my perspective, when I look at something like the Viking culture and pre-Viking culture, the Vandals and the Goths and everything else, you had a really balanced system that was based on the components of the perfection between the male and the
right.
female, you know, and they were actually highly venerated. There were free men and women. There was if you want to use the term, I don't really like the term, but a democratic system, if you will, in place. And it was not until, at least in the Nordic countries, until the dawn of some of these Abrahamic religions, Christianity and all that came along, that total imbalance came along. I think even during a warrior culture like the Vikings and pre-Viking, there were still, yes, there was a lot of warfare and violence for different reasons, as we've talked about before on the show, but nonetheless, it wasn't despite that, it wasn't unbalanced with the women in the picture. You know what I mean?
Right. No, the balance is what it's all about. But I'm kind of painting it in a picture of where you bring it back the other way. And there's no loss in the male role. It's just bringing the woman where she's supposed to be. And it's foreign to our understanding. We've never seen it in our lifetimes. We've always been in this male hierarchical structure. But it so parallels the whole idea of Gaia, you know, and even the myth of Sophia, that, you know, the earth goddess, mother goddess, as the nurturing home that we are naturally, you know, inhabiting and are spiritually attached to, that has to be broken by these other forces, by the invasive forces. And pornography is a big tool of that. It's to degrade, you know, obviously, but it's another spiritual attack on some of these more fundamental connections that we have to reconnect with. And I think that's another thing people should realize, that those connections get restored pretty darn quick, whether it's once they wake up and come to terms with the fact that they were asleep and now they're awake and they can't go back. Have you heard the analogy of the glasses? I think Dick Gregory is the first guy I heard it from.
Mm-hmm.
The truth glasses. The first rule is you have to want to put them on. The second rule is you can't make anybody else put them on. They have to want to put them on. The third rule is once you've got them on, they don't come off.
Is it kind of based out of They Live or something like that?
it's kind of. It's that image, but but it's very interesting because you can't force people and you have to want to wake up yourself. There's no, you know, but once they're on, you're on.
You can't unlearn it, you know,
no,
right? Unhear
it's
it.
It's not going to go away. Yeah. People try to run from it. Maybe they'll, you know, drink themselves silly or something to try to drown it or something, but it's there and you might as well take it and run with it, baby, because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the other side to that as well, I just thought about it when we were talking about it, because in a country like Sweden, we have, you know, state feminism now kind of running amok, a very, very anti-male, an attack on masculinity and the positive aspects of the warrior that we so desperately need right now. And it's this constant wobbling back and forth from complete imbalance on one side to the complete imbalance of the other side, pendulum, you know, no good ground in between. That's what's causing all the chaos, you know?
Yeah, feminism was an invention of the Zionists. They that whole movement, it's people think, oh no, women need equal rights. That's not what it was about.
No.
It was about getting women to work, getting another tax stream coming in. It was about breaking down the family. It was about causing social chaos. And you can trace these earlier people, Gloria Steinem and all these people, back to the CIA and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
It's, you know, I'm just ridiculously naked, that stuff. Yeah, feminism, it's like, but that's another one, you know, how they got these terms wrapped in this self-righteous smut that you can't even talk about. Oh, you're anti-feminist, you know, or, oh, you don't like
You hate women. You want to beat women? Do you want to rape women now? Yeah, okay.
You don't think they should make as much money as men? Oh, you don't like Jewish people? Jewish people aren't equal to us. Don't you know how tortured they were for so long? Well, lady, you know what? If you knew why they were chased out of country by country, maybe you'd have a little different attitude.
Why
they were kicked out of every country they went into because they were trying to screw it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, how is this possible? I mean, after a certain point, I made the analogy of a married or a husband or a man, I should say, who seeks different partners in life, and his marriage just keeps breaking up, right? And he's like, oh, okay, well, that woman wasn't that great, you know, so she had some issues and psychological issues, and that was something was wrong with the next one, physicality wise, or she wasn't attracted to her, whatever, you know. And it's like marriage after marriage just fails and fails after 20, 30, 40 wives, 50, 60, 100 wives. At what point are you going to begin to question the man in the relationship and say, maybe there's something there that's wrong, right? Maybe he has an issue, right? Maybe it's not all these women that has the issue, you know?
Exactly. There's a famous story of a guy, I mean, it's probably different scenarios, but a guy drives, he's in his car, drives into a little small town, and he stops at the gas station. He's looking for a town to move to. He asked the attendant, "What are the people like here like?" And the attendant says, "Well, what were they like where you came from?" And he says, "Ah, they're all smarmy, stinky, ugly, stupid. You know, they're awful." And the guy says to him, "Yeah, they're going to be the same way here for you."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's told better than that, but that's the point.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about something here, talking earlier too, the warfare and the warrior. I feel that this is something we need in all aspects to our daily lives, if you will, or in different parts of. It feels like it is, and certainly part of some awakening of the process could be to kind of disengage wherever you're in, if it's a work thing you're in, or in some cases even relationships that people are in and whatnot. But my point there is that we need to have, you know, smart, successful, talented people that have this awareness, if you will, of all the things going on that we're talking about now, but still being part of all these aspects within life, from politics to, you know, to business, to all the different industries out there, to media, and you know, of trying to not, I mean, I understand the value of disengaging with the system, but for me, anyway, at this point, I'm feeling now what we need is to, in whatever aspect we can change it, why not try to change it there? Ultimately, even if the true, you know, revolt against what we're experiencing is going to come from within politics or not, that's not something I think, but nonetheless, why not do the best we can in every field and infiltrate every aspect of it, and have people who are awake, smart, they have, you know, money at their disposal where they know how they can, you know, influence with that money, and continuing with talent and being, you know, excellence in whatever field they're in, right? That's what I feel it's important right now. There's kind of a disengagement and then just a distancing from it. But then the system continues as it goes. The politics continues as it goes. And it still influences and wield incredible amount of control over our lives still, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. I mean, it's, you want to scream at people, ignite, damn it, you know, get on fire, and, you know, stop smoldering, stop holding back wherever you are, whatever you're doing. I mean, I'm in a remote country way down south, and I'm still pointing out chemtrails in my broken Spanish, and I'm turning people on to all kinds of stuff. I had a huge thing with the telephone guy yesterday about depopulation. They're all ears. I mean, one thing led to another, but I can't help myself. And, you know, and then they're mumbling to each other as they walked off. And I don't know, but that's just when I'm out walking my dog. You know, I spend the rest of my time online like a complete maniac, but but it's all hands on deck. I love what you're saying, Henrik. What you're saying is absolutely bang on. I feel exactly the same way. The situation is urgent, and we have to take, you know, I mean, I'm considering some big changes just to do more than what I'm doing. It's too severe. I mean, think about it. I mean, I've got, between my wife and I, we have 8 kids and 15 grandkids.
That's great. Congratulations. Yeah, and well done to you, sir, for actually continuing the perpetuation of the European line, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I'm from a Scottish family.
Great.
All the way
well,
through,
that's
baby.
Good, you know? No, but I'm serious about that, because, I mean, look at it. Birth rates are just declining, and your infertility, everything is just going down, down, down. And it's like, we have replacement level immigration into specifically Europe and into America as well now, and you know, open borders to the south and everything else. This is even if people don't realize this right now, two, three generations down the road here, do the numbers, you know. Yeah. It's just a fact, you know.
Oh, and it's been dwindling a long time. The plan's been kicking in, but now it's gone you know, hyperbolic. By the way, that Barbara Spector, that woman should be arrested.
She should be
up.
Yeah, at least. And
sent back to the United States. What the hell she's doing there?
Well, she made Aliyah, so send her to Israel. You know.
Yeah. Okay. That's better. She'll get her. You know, send her into the cauldron.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Their days are numbered. But that's enough to make you boil.
What is that about? I mean, if people don't question that and realize, and also realize how many times the Israeli broadcasting company is trying to take that video down from YouTube, should also says and speak something. This was a mistake, folks. This was not meant to come out to the rest of us, the goy out here on, you know, YouTube, you know, didn't allow it. So, you know, yeah, but we found out and it's quite revealing. It's quite remarkable when you think about it. I mean, as a follow-up to that, a recent news story out of Sweden is that the government of Sweden is now funneling in millions of Swedish crowns to the Jewish community due to the fact that they feel now unsafe in Sweden. And so this money is going to go to, you know, alarms and security guards following them to the synagogue and everything else there.
Give me a freaking break.
But it's like, okay, so why is this woman sitting there and then advocating letting in all these Muslims? To be honest, that's where the threat to the Jewish community comes from. It's not from your regular run-of-the-mill Swede, you know? It's from the increasing Muslim population in Sweden. That's what it's about, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like what you had another guest on the other day. His name escapes me. Australia. Max Egan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Max Egan.
He was saying, he's a terrific guy. He was saying, well, they're trying to drive the Jews back to Israel. They're heating up the water where they are, trying to drive them back to get more bodies into the country. I mean, I don't know, but I don't discount anything at this point of the ball game. You never know what they're up to, but it's, you know, but clearly it's the sympathy card. You know, they're doing the same old thing. Oh, look at the poor persecuted Israelis. Well, why don't you stop bombing the world and infecting it? And,
Stopping you know, changing European society and culture and saying we can't survive without having an increase of Muslims in the world. This is going to create chaos. This is going to create religious and racial conflicts. And as we know, this is exactly what they want, you know?
Yeah, look at the United States. I mean, there's an example of the boiling frog who can't even squeak up. All these, well, there are people who are mad and demonstrating, but as the borders just, I mean, they're trucking them in, they're training them in, they're flying them in.
Yeah.
Got diseases. The border guards are blowing the whistle. They said they've been they're handcuffed. Guys are laid off, and it's coming in hordes. You know, and what's happening to stop it? What do you hear in Congress? You hear squat.
Nothing.
You know, they say okay, give them all amnesty.
Yeah, and then the churches even are helping out. The different denominations are taking them in and showing their, you know. Proposed goodwill, but this is not what it's about. This is about again attacking America for what it is. It's some kind of vengeance for a delusional concept of what they think happened historically and everything else, right? This is like I mean, everything is skewed as we know, but in this regard of you know, European history and even colonialism and everything else, it's like, my God, there was so much mumbo jumbo flying around about this, you know.
Yeah, it's surreal. I mean, that's the only word that it's twilight zone here. What's happening? It's really nice to be out of the so-called developed world, developed countries, where you at least the confusion and the tension is much much less. They still have their you know cell towers all over the place. They're chemtrailing, not nearly as bad, but they do it down here. And they've got GMO problems, you know, they're facing a lot of the same things, but it's way, way less. So at least we've been here about a year and a half now. It's mm-hmm. been a really, really nice respite, but pretty much for us, it's been like a detox because I'd been out of the States for 20 years before I went back. Then I was back in the States for 20 years again, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And finally, we just said, we got to unplug and as part of our commitment to just detach. And it's been just horrific and, you know, uprooted, sold everything. We're down here. We just go by bus and walk and go slow, take it easy. Which, by the way, you had mentioned about what people should do, how, you know, to try to strengthen themselves and get their footing and more self-empowerment, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
Although I don't like to hail back to the self-help idea, but I think going slow is really important. People really need to take their time. My kids are going through huge upheavals. Most of the kids are very spiritually sensitive, and they pick these things up. So we try to help them understand what they're seeing so they don't think it's just themselves, but these are external forces. And your life is going to be jarred. I've written about this a lot, that how this morphic field or the cosmic sea, I mean, this is one heck of a riptide and a lot of stormy waves, and it's not easy paddling. So we try to help the kids, and that's why I like to write about that, to try to encourage and help people through it. But it's important to really go slow, because in times of confusion, we can make really bad, wrong decisions at the turn of a hat and really get ourselves in trouble. So anyway, that's just something that's been coming to me lately.
Being really
careful. It's you know, physically too, you know, I mean, those of us getting older, you don't want to have an accident now. You don't want to, not to live in fear, but be aware.
Well, you got to be smart, you know, that's what it's about, right? You know,
and there's impulses out there that are getting more brazen. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this spiritual manifestation of craziness. Kind of like Ghostbusters. Remember when the place went nuts?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's going on. And so we're going to see a lot more of this kind of supernatural manifestation. That's going to be genuine, not just blue beam stuff. But I think people really need to be on their toes. And if there's a lot of techniques, there's a lot of technologies to stay spiritually clean. And a lot of people battle fear. And I recently wrote about that, trying to address that big subject. But it's there are times, you know, if some people might need some help with something. And there are people that are wonderful people that are there to help. But because there are spiritual technologies that really, really can help people that are getting battled by some of these things, or some of these things I call Klingons, like to come and pester us. But the good thing is, when we're on fire, they can't touch us. When we're burning, that cannot touch the flame.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point, the whole way of the warrior, like you're saying. That's the answer that's really the answer of the moment, I think.
Yeah, you wrote about that, the age of information overload and everything else. And I've come to realize, in a way, that it's also a strategy and approach to that you need to have, in terms of trying to find the base components of every issue. It's not about reading every news story online about every conceivable aspect that you can to try to just amass information in that regard. I mean, that's certainly valuable to a certain extent if you have the time, if you have the means, and if you can, if you're involved in the research for that. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I'm saying it's about, I believe anyway, it's more about having our own priorities straight than it is about just kind of feeding from an external source that then consequently might shape our internal world. We need to have our head space in the right place. We need to have our priorities straight. We need to know not only who we are, but what we want and what our goals are. And then basically everything that comes to you can be, maybe not divided is the right term, but it can be understood from your, you know, base kind of core perspective. And
right.
And it's a much easier way of dealing and processing things. I mean, find your spot of what your true place is, and you say, okay, is this aiding or is it worsening, you know, the choice or the goals that I want to see manifested in my life and everything else. And if you do it in that way, it's a very efficient way of like dealing with that potential information overload, I find anyway.
Yes, that's well said. I mean, you can't possibly keep up with the information now, even if you just focus on alternative sources. In many cases, you can just look at the headline and read the first few lines. You get the idea. And you really have to be led to by your heart and by spirit to know what you're supposed to dive into, what you aren't. I mean, those of us who run websites, there's different priorities that we may have, but overloading on, especially the negative stuff, can really be detrimental. It's always good to balance it with, you know, positive, or just get those breaks, take those long walks, whatever it needs to. But there's no way to keep up on everything anymore. But like you said, I think the most important thing is to have a processed perspective and know where you're coming from. And from there, as we're, you know, we come at it from, you know, an awakened perspective, we'll know. We have to learn to listen to our hearts. We'll know what direction to move. And the beautiful thing is, synchronicity is just kicking in so big. you know, we were talking about this before this. You know, you might get nowadays you might get an email and then read an article and then get a message, and you know, things go boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
They're not just the little things anymore; they're big things.
Yeah,
they're big confirmations. They're big encouragements. They're big eye openers. They're big, very, very clear, sandwiched layers of signals that are undeniably telling you this is a message for you. You know, I want you to know this. You know, it's a privileged time to live in this respect. You know, we're going to be more clear for people or more confusing depending on the decisions they make. But I agree. There's a time to back off. Just back off. But as you and I know, there's not that much time to back off.
When
there's so much to try to keep up with. But you have to pick your battles. You got to choose your battles. You cannot keep up on everything, and that's the beauty of it. There's so many wonderful people that dove into the Ebola subject, or maybe they dove into the MH17, or you know, and you can get a great analysis. And we don't all have to analyze everything and come to it, you know, the same conclusion someone else did. Someone else may have done the whole analysis.
Yes.
Put it all down there, documented it. You go, wham, thank you, ma'am. You know, that was beautiful. Or some things you just wait on. It's not clear yet. But that's not my battle. I'm not going to get into it. Or other ones ring your chimes. There's something like Sandy Hook did. It's like, are you kidding? This stinks from the get-go before there were hardly, you know, any original facts. But the first things were so, there's so many huge discrepancies, but it had such an impact that for me, I started looking at it right off the bat. But also, I think that was just the main issue at the time. Now, I mean, like we were saying before, I mean, you can have Sandy Hook, and then a week later, you've got, you know, some other disaster, and then you've got this disaster, and then you got that. The attention span of the world is forced to be very short, and all they have to do is have the emotional impact they want. They do not need any facts anymore. They don't even need a real event. All they have to do is say it happened. And, you know, and then like, you know, the Gulf of Tonkin incident never happened. All you have to do is say it happened and off to the races. And a few years later, oops, that was a mistake, but the war's over and everybody's dead. They accomplished their purpose. I mean, that's the same old BS we're given all the time.
Well, we're still passive in that regard. We're still backpedaling and ending up studying, you know, something that someone else created, the reaction of it. We're not dictating the direction of where we want to go. We are passengers. We are passive. We're sitting and waiting for something to happen, and then we react to that, you know. And I want to see, and I'm not talking about these kinds of events, false flag, that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about dictating the direction of where we want to see things go. It feels like every department is so infiltrated with the wrong people that we end up in that situation, instead of saying, actually, you know what, we have a couple of good politicians there, we have a couple of good business people here, a couple of good people in media who's doing movies and you know, music videos or what have you right now. And when they come out, we're going to start to, you know, when they start to act or whatever, then you're going to have a reflection in the culture and within, you know, the systems of government and everything else that starts to take things in a little bit of a better direction, you know. What will it take to get to, you know, a state to that, you know?
Yeah, as you're talking, I'm thinking, I mean, taking the initiative is everything. So it's like, well, rather than us responding or even taking initiative based on what they're doing, what if we just set up an alternative world council? You know, it did something completely off the charts different.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to set up a world council. These are a bunch of wise people. And they're going to govern the earth as wise elders and shamans would. And we're going to be hearing their opinion from now on of the world situation and the world current situation and what should be done, or what the new world is in the process of doing. You know what I mean? Just take a completely wang out there initiative to actually just start. Like, people talk about this a lot. Build, you know, let's talk about solutions. Okay. And, you know, we have community, we have shared gardening, we have, you know, all kinds of, you know, there's political action committees and things like that. But just, okay, let's set up the world the way it's supposed to be
supposed
here.
Supposed to be, yeah. You have to lead, you know, by example, right? You know?
Yeah. Kali Yuga is over now, guys. Okay, finish up in the yard. we clean up your mess or just go away. And we're going to start setting up shop now. It's like the brave Palestinians. What an example these people are. Talk about resilience. You know, they'll rebuild. They'll keep protesting. They'll keep fighting. They will not move off their land. That's an example.
Yeah,
and they're getting these freaking flèche bombs and, I mean, horrific treatment and, you know, terror. And the 400,000 kids are in complete shock right now.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows what it's going to take. But the adults have been through this before. I mean, some teens have been through three of these onslaughts. But anyway, I'm thinking, okay, let's take initiative. You know, let's not attack their wall where they think we're gonna. Let's find a whole different place to go. You know, nothing. I'm not talking ethereal serial or, you know, sort of a, you know, some sort of a UN panel or anything.
Right.
I'm just thinking out loud, but
yeah,
you know what I mean. Taking the initiative is a remarkable power, and it's something we need to really think about, because I think passing into this warrior mentality, which everybody's feeling, we need to give this serious consideration and thought, and then start to put it into application to kick people's wheels into gear. You know.
Exactly. Well said, Zan. Now, why don't we, in a little bit here, we can take a short little break between the segments. There's more I want to ask you about concerning these, you know, topics, and also kind of getting a little bit closer to the sparking some ideas in people's head, as opposed, in regards to the irrational, to a certain extent, the unexpected things that are, I mean, we have to come from a place of thinking rationally about the world, but then the measures and the implementations will have to be irrational, so they come out of the left field. They're unexpected. That's a tremendous value, you know, in that. But before we carry on here, then, Zan, please give us your website and tell us if there's anything else you have, kind of a upcoming, something in the works, maybe articles, or if you have anything else major that you're working on right now.
My website is zengardner.com. That's zengardner.com. You can sign up for the newsletter. There's a daily and a weekly newsletter if you'd like. It's free. We have an expanded platform in the works called Awake 101 that we hope to get launched. It's kind of a big project, but we'd like to have more resources available for people who are just waking up. I like to try to help encourage those who had the awakening, who are kind of looking around. They feel so alone and wonder, boy, what do I do now? It's like a chick hatched in the middle of a field. And to provide them some support and encouragement and some nourishment. And there's a lot of wonderful people just waiting to help. On my site, I've got terrific commenters and contributors who are just wonderful people. And they love to encourage folks. They spark off each other, and it's just a beautiful climate. I'm very thankful for. If anybody wants to visit and join the community, it's inspiring, fun, feisty, but really sharp folks. But that's it for right now. There's some other stuff later on, but I'll be sure to let you know when those come up.
Yeah, but definitely. Yeah.
But I welcome any ideas, information, contact. My contact email's there on the site, and just say hi. And it's been a real fun journey.
Very good. Zengardner.com. Check it out, folks, if you haven't already. And if you do are aware of it, check it out continually, because there's a lot of good articles coming up there and a lot of good writing and perspectives and everything else. So we'll have that linked up from our websites as well, folks. All right, we'll take a short break here, Zen. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more.